The Holy Gospel according to St. John, 16th chapter. Jesus said, "But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers who are gathered here and in the church around the world. Mothers have done a wonderful job these last few decades, forcing children and husbands out of their beds and into the church pews. From me and pastors everywhere, thank you. And our Lord thanks you. Unfortunately, though, in some families, mothers have replaced the husband as the sort of spiritual leader of the household out of necessity, not by any fault of their own. Because the husband's faith has been turned into a noun and is no longer a verb. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to convict and forgive such things. And this work of the Holy Spirit, convicting and forgiving, is the subject of today's gospel reading. In modern Christianity, there seems to be a bit of confusion about what the Holy Spirit does. For example, some modern churches emphasize the role of the Holy Spirit in the speaking of tongues. With this at the center of the worship service, preaching and prayers run risk of being centered around this experience rather than the objective work of Christ on the cross. It can even get to the point where if you didn't have an experience such as this, then your faith is somehow labeled less than someone else's faith, who did speak in tongues, or had some kind of crazy emotional experience. In our gospel lesson, we get a bit of a different view of how the Holy Spirit interacts with people. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and to guide God's people into all truth. But what does it mean for the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment? In the gospel text, Jesus is teaching his disciples while at the Last Supper, right before he would be betrayed. So he's speaking as if he's leaving them, which makes them sad. Of course it would make them sad. He's their Messiah, their rabbi, their savior. It would be foolish not to be upset to be apart from Jesus, which is their greatest sorrow, as well as our greatest sorrow. But Jesus encourages them by saying, it's better that he goes away, because then he can send the Helper. But what does the Helper help with? First, he convicts the world of their sin, because they don't believe in Jesus. Some may not see that as help from the helper, but rather as God trying to come run your life and ruin all your fun by telling you what to do. Some Christians may see themselves as exempt from this work of the Holy Spirit because they do already believe in Jesus. So according to the text, that can't be the case for them. But anytime we break one of God's commandments, or even think we're not sinful, we sin. And our belief is shattered. And we no longer keep the first commandment. We've gone to the wrong God and asked for help. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit because the world, including us, must know that we're trapped in an inclination towards sin and unbelief. The Holy Spirit exposes the world of their sin, of unbelief, and the rejection of Christ. That's what Peter's preaching to the Jewish people was about on Pentecost, which is the first time humanity received the Holy Spirit. Peter preaches, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." So the Holy Spirit, which came to the disciples on Pentecost, led Peter to preach this, exposing their sin in crucifying an innocent man. Now for us today, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, which results from unbelief. That's not to say that unbelief happens only when we deny Jesus. Saying, "I don't believe Jesus exists." Because we can still believe that Jesus existed, yet still remain in unbelief. Because Scripture teaches that belief has a verbal element to it. Unbelief causes faith to simply be a noun, not a verb, resulting in God's commands, judgments, and providence to be disregarded. Belief receives the gift of Christ by going to church. And belief seeks to love the neighbor. Belief isn't a stagnant thing which exists in and of itself, as if our faith is to be worshipped. Rather, belief is something lived out daily, not something you can reach out and grab and then go bury it in your backyard, leaving it there until you need it and you're close to death, and you go out and unbury it real quick. But then the Holy Spirit convicts the world of righteousness. That is, Christ's work of redeeming man's sin on the cross is brought before the Father to satisfy his wrath for sin. Then the Holy Spirit takes Christ's work on the cross and uses it as the foundation by which he declares the world righteous. That is, we have no unrighteousness to worry about. No sin that's needed to be punished. Rather, sin and its punishment is already taken care of through Christ on the cross. But wait a sec. Didn't we just talk about the Holy Spirit convicting people of their sin? How then can he declare the world righteous? As Jesus says, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." That is, we must be brought low in recognizing our sin and its effects on our relationship with God and neighbor before God, not us, breaks the chains of sin and lifts us up to serve and love with a new and willing heart. But conviction of sin comes before declaration of righteousness. For if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the Holy Spirit convicts everyone of sin so that they can see their need for forgiveness. That's the preaching of the law. Yet the Holy Spirit also convicts all people of righteousness, that Jesus has taken unrighteousness away. That's the preaching of the gospel. All sin has been objectively forgiven. Only unbelief stands between a sinner and justification before God in heaven. Lastly, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And who is the ruler of this world? Well, it's Satan. The only thing he wants is to cause all of God's sheep to fall away and bring them into hell. Satan does this by enticing sinners with sinful desires. But by Christ's appeal for the world's forgiveness to the Father, Satan is judged. He cannot inhabit or have dominion where the Holy Spirit is, convicting the world of sin and righteousness, leading folks into all truth. And though he still roams like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, we're comforted to know that final judgment on the last day will completely end all Satan's crafty plots. This gives great comfort to us now, because we will live peacefully in eternity. So you see, it's impossible to preach or teach the Holy Spirit when the teaching is void of Christ. Sin and eternal judgment apart from Christ would still remain, and righteousness apart from Christ would be impossible. A Christless Holy Spirit is really no Holy Spirit at all. The Holy Spirit functions to bring Christ to you, to glorify and point to Jesus in the words read from Scripture. He takes what belongs to Jesus: righteousness, perfection, innocence, death, resurrection, truth. And the Holy Spirit gives all of this to you as a gift. He brings justification, which is declared to you by the Father on account of Christ. He wraps all this up and he gives it to you in word and sacrament. On Pentecost, Peter convicted the Jewish crowds of their sin by killing Jesus on the cross. Being cut to the heart, the crowds asked, "What do we do?" Said another way, "I'm sorry, we didn't know." Is there any way God can accept our sorrowful hearts? To which Peter responded, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And what did they do after baptism? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That is, they heard the teachings of Christ, how Christ was the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and what this means to be the body of Christ now. And they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, or communion, and the prayers. So having received the Holy Spirit, new Christians were led by this Spirit to be baptized, receive the Lord's body and blood, and to meditate on the Old Testament scriptures and the apostolic teachings about Jesus. But why does the Spirit lead us to these things? I thought a Christless spirit is no Holy Spirit at all. Where is Christ in these things? But it's precisely here where Christ has promised to be. He's united himself to us in baptism according to Romans 6, spread his cloak of righteousness in baptism over us according to Galatians 3, and saves us through baptism according to 1 Peter 3. Christ promises to give his own body and blood in and through bread and wine in the Lord's Supper, according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 1 Corinthians. And Christ himself is the Word made flesh, according to John 1, who has dwelt among us in the person of Jesus. He himself is the implanted Word within our ears, in our hearts, which is able to save our souls. So repent and look to these promises of Christ, and the Christ-filled Holy Spirit will declare Christ's righteousness to you. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.